When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Let's talk with Anna Glavinsky.
I'm joined now by Andre Soldatov. He's written a book, jointly written, called Our Dear Friends in Moscow. And it talks about being in Russia on a certain generation coming of age when the communist era basically stopped and fell apart, and the future that these young people were feeling, the optimism versus the uncertainty. Sounds like a very, very interesting book. Delighted to be joined by Andre. Thank you for being here this morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Now, I wouldn't normally ask this of a guest. It's extremely impolite, but because your book talks about a certain age group at a certain time of history, can I please ask you how old you are? Because I've also got you on video and you look very young.
Well, Matt, that may be because of his years in exile. I'm 49.
Well, I would not have guessed that. But that puts you then during the 90s. How old were you? And, you know, what was your experience like of being that age in that place?
Well, I became journalist at the age of 20, and that was 1996. And our book basically tells a story starting with the events in 2000 when Putin came to power, trying to trace the history, personal history of a group of friends of seven people, including me and my co-author Irina Borgan.
And how did you pick out these people? Were you a particularly strong friendship group? Who were these people to you and how did you write their story?
In 2000, I was extremely young, but also extremely ambitious. I wanted to find a way into political journalism. And at the time, the newspaper Izvestia was enjoyed quite a close access to the Kremlin, and I thought it would be a good spot for me. So we met all of these people in the political department of this newspaper. All of them were really ambitious young journalists, slightly older than me, like in the 30s. I was 25 back then. And all of them became right now quite important in Putin's propaganda machine, I would say.
And, you know, without giving too much away, when you then sort of delved into these people's stories, did you notice that your futures all had something in common? Did you all follow similar paths or did everyone go in a completely different direction and have unique experiences?
For several years, even after Putin, we still felt but essentially on the same page in terms of profession. So when the country went through some really horrible crisis like terrorist attacks, hostage takings, wars, at least in the first years of the 2000s, it felt like we were on the same page. We understood the profession in the same way. Unfortunately, very quickly, by the end of the 2000s, it became clear that they're getting more and more nationalistic and I would say imperialistic and aggressive.
Really? Okay, that's interesting. And now, during the 90s, I think many Westerners do remember Russia as a sort of chaotic and very corrupt place. I'm about 10 years younger than you. So during that time, it was just, to me, it was just sort of a country that you heard about in the news. And like, I think the word chaos is probably right. It just felt like this place far away that was going through turmoil. What was it like for you guys actually living there? And at a very important time in your life as well, you know, 20, becoming a journalist, that really is a pivotal coming of age time. What was the reality of it? What would you say to Westerners who had that perspective in the 90s?
Well, of course, the 1990s was a very difficult moment for many Russians because the Soviet Union just collapsed. The economy was not doing really great, but it was a really good time to be a journalist. First of all, because there was still a lot of prestige for this profession because of Perestroika and Gorbachev and openness. And there was a big demand amongst Russians for the information we had as journalists. And also, look, because so many things, happened, the wars, political turmoil, wars between oligarchs, corruption, you mentioned assassinations. It was a fascinating thing to cover as a journalist. So for me as a journalist, it was a really good time because you can make really good connections. So you can get really good sources inside because lots of people are really interested to talk to you as a journalist. You can open the door to the Kremlin. You can find your sources inside of the ministries very quickly. And again, it was a very young profession because Soviet journalists, most of them left. So the space was emptied by these guys, and you can easily fill the spots. And that's exactly what I wanted to do as a very ambitious guy back then.
So very ambitious, but also, was there any sense of danger? You're in a privileged position, but were you forced or maybe pushed, manipulated into speaking a certain way, doing a certain thing? Or did you ever just get a sense of, oh my goodness, I'm speaking words here, but these are my power, but this is also putting me in potential danger.
Yes, unfortunately, corruption, was a big problem for journalists, and many famous journalists became corrupted, and that came with a price. Some of the journalists were killed and attacked. But the difference was that in the 1990s, you never expected to be attacked by the state. So you think, thinking about your chances, you think, well, yes, you might end up with some problems with mafia or with some people who might be not really happy with what you write, but you cannot end up in prison. And that completely changed under Putin in the next decade.
Wow. Okay. And how do you, as a person, navigate that? How do you make your own decisions?
Yes, I tried. The thing is that, of course, you understand that back then, most of the media were either owned by the oligarchs, or there was some Soviet media, slightly independent, but not really independent from the Kremlin. And you are trying to find a way and to understand who are the people who at least share similar views on politics. And that was the way. And also, I believe back then as a journalist that it's better to be as far as possible from the Kremlin, because I thought, look, you can find a way how to deal with your oligarch, but with the Kremlin, it would be absolutely different.
Mm. And I'd like to pick up on something that you briefly touched on earlier about the mentality of people change and the influence of war in that mentality. Chechnya plays an important role in your story. How does this and other wars influence the psyche of the people in your generation? How does it get into your mindset and shape you?
Well, unfortunately, in the 1990s, Russia went through several really horrible wars, including two wars in Chechnya. And that, in a way, initially supported journalism, but eventually crushed it. Why? Because Vladimir Putin, who came to the Kremlin in 2000, he found a way how to explain to the Russian people that all the problems the Russian army was having on the battlefield, that was because of journalists. Journalists were undermining the war morale and published critical stories, and that was bad for the country, bad for the army. And because at that moment, we got a series of really horrible, devastating terrorist attacks, including in Moscow. The public got really frightened and scared, and lots of people turned against journalists and basically saying, look, if that guy in the Kremlin, well, we don't care that he has this KGB background, but if he could provide security to us, let's forget about freedoms, let's forget about journalism, we are happy where we are.
And on that note, you know, I know that your book is more about the past few decades, but just, I'm interested to know how the invasion of Ukraine ties in. You know, if we fast forward to now, are there elements of your story playing out again, or are things different this time around in terms of psyche and the book that you've written about the past?
I would say that several things significantly changed. Mm-hmm. If in the early 2000s, it was mostly about providing security for people, and that was enough. Starting in with the war in Georgia in 2008, many people, well-off people in Moscow and some big cities, they became more and more fascinated by the Russian army, and they supported many things, and they wanted to make Russia great again, if I can use this line. And by 2014, when Putin annexed Crimea, well, unfortunately, it was met with jubilation among many, many people who used to be quite liberal. But 2022, they became even more aggressive. Our friends, the people we describe, become aggressive to the extent you cannot imagine. One of the protagonists of our book, a woman which used to be very close to the Kremlin, she went to special forces training because she wanted to fight against the Ukrainians as a soldier. She got killed by a friendly fire. So fortunately, she didn't kill anybody, but she became a soldier, essentially.
Wow. And what was that like for you on a personal level, on an emotional level, seeing, you know, friends around you, they're changing, some are going to exile, others are, like you say, sort of becoming cogs in a machine that you find quite dark. And these were people, you also mentioned that some of them were just that little bit older than you. So I presume that you might even have looked up to some of them or seen them as potential mentors or guides in your life. So what has it been like for you to see them change?
It was really hard on a personal level, especially when one guy, and we loved him, and we had this very personal bond that he put us on the a list of enemies of the people. And that felt really personal. But for that book, we thought that if we want to tell this story, we would need to reconnect with these guys. And we didn't talk to them for many years before, but we understood that they need to do that because we are journalists and we need to talk to them. And we did. And surprisingly, well, several of these guys responded, and they talked to us for hours and hours. And again, emotionally, it was really difficult because you see basically the same guy. You hear that familiar voice and you share some jokes about the past. And all of a sudden, he might tell you something absolutely horrible. Like, yes, we understand that we need to, that it's a big strategy for the Russians and Ukrainians, but we won't stop. We will go further. We need to take all of Ukraine and all these horrible things. And you don't get it.
Wow. Yeah, that must be, really difficult, really something to have to get your head around. And do you think that there are lessons in your book, you know, for younger generations coming up now, by reflecting on that past? Do you think that young people now could take away something?
Yes, unfortunately, several things which happened to my country, but they're quite universal. For instance, when Putin came to power, many, many public intellectuals in the country supported him full-heartedly when he started his really big offensive on Russian democratic institutions like the parliament or the media, because they believed that they had this access to the Kremlin. And they believed they could maintain this access for years and years to come. They could influence on Putin. They can tell him things. So they sort of sold the idea of democracy for this access. And of course, you cannot become friends with the crocodile. It's just impossible. At some point, he would eat you up. That's the only way.
And do you have any optimism for a more liberal or democratic Russia?
I very much hope so, that at some point, my country is capable of sudden change. We all remember that in the 1980s, nobody predicted perestroika, and nobody predicted Gorbachev, and it was very sudden for everyone, including my parents. So yes, I do hope that at some point, not in a very distant future, I would be able to return to my country.
Well, yeah, fingers crossed for you, and congratulations on releasing this book. It sounds like you've really, it's not just been an academic journalistic undertaking, but you've really reached inside sort of your heart and your soul and your emotions there. So yeah, congratulations. The book is called Our Dear Friends in Moscow. You can find it on Amazon or the Talk Radio Europe bookshop. Andrei, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Thank you.
Goodbye.